It's March 18th. Our reading today in the Old Testament comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 26, beginning at verse 52. We'll go through chapter 28, verse 15. And here is what we'll be reading about today. Claiming the land. New problems give us new opportunities to seek God's wisdom and learn new truths. James chapter 4, verse 2 tells us, "Yet you do not have because you do not ask." The five daughters had the courage and faith to ask for their inheritance, and they got it. They also had a part in establishing a law that helped other families in Israel get their inheritance. We'll read about seeing the land, not only claiming it, but seeing it. Moses saw the promised land, but as far as we know, did not enter it until he appeared with Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. Well, the land of Canaan is a picture, not of heaven, but of the believer's inheritance in Christ in the heavenlies. A whole generation died and never saw the land. 10 of the spies saw the land for 40 days and then died in their unbelief. Moses saw the land but could not enter it. The new generation, along with Caleb and Joshua, entered the land and claimed their promised inheritance. Well, the question begs, to which group do you belong? And finally, we'll read about conquering the land. As always, Moses' greatest concern was the people and not himself. And God gave him his assistant, Joshua, to be his successor. Joshua was God's general, who would conquer the land and give the people their inheritance. He is a type of Jesus Christ. You know, Joshua means Jehovah in salvation. He is a type of Christ who conquered our enemies for us and opened the way for us to claim all the blessings that God has for us. The new generation had to be taught the religious calendar, which would govern their lives after they enter the land. The older generation should see to it that those coming after understand the traditions. They were instructed about the regular offerings and also about the annual feasts. All right, with that, let's begin our reading today here in the Old Testament. March 18th, the book of Numbers, chapter 26, verse 52, through chapter 28, verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Divide the land among the tribes in proportion to their populations, as indicated by the census. Give the larger tribes more land and the smaller tribes less land, each group's inheritance reflecting the size of its population. Make sure you assign the land by lot and define the inheritance of each ancestral tribe by means of the census listings. Each inheritance must be assigned by lot among the larger and smaller tribal groups. This is the census record for the Levites, who were counted according to their clans. The Gershonite clan, named after its ancestor, Gershon. The Kohathite clan, named after its ancestor, Kohath. The Merarite clan, named after its ancestor, Merari. The Libnites, the Hebronites, the Malites, the Mushites, and the Korahites were all subclans of the Levites. Now Kohath was the ancestor of Amram, and Amram's wife was named Jochebed. She also was a descendant of Levi, born among the Levites in the land of Egypt. Amram and Jochebed became the parents of Aaron, Moses, and their sister Miriam. To Aaron were born Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died when they burned before the Lord a different kind of fire than he had commanded. The men from the Levite clans, who were 1 month old or older, numbered 23,000. But the Levites were not included in the total census figure of the people of Israel because they were not given an inheritance of land when it was divided among the Israelites. So these are the census figures of the people of Israel as prepared by Moses and Eleazar the priest on the plains of Moab beside the Jordan River across from Jericho. Not one person that Moses and Aaron counted in this census had been among those counted in the previous census taken in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, "They will all die in the wilderness." The only exceptions were Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. One day a petition was presented by the daughters of Zelophehad, Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. Their father, Zelophehad, was the son of Hepher, son of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, son of Joseph. These women went and stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the tribal leaders, and the entire community at the entrance of the tabernacle. "Our father died in the wilderness without leaving any sons," they said. But he was not among Korah's followers, who rebelled against the Lord. He died because of his own sin. Why should the name of our father disappear just because he had no sons? Give us property along with the rest of our relatives. So Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord replied to Moses, "The daughters of Zelophehad are right. You must give them an inheritance of land along with their father's relatives. Assign them the property that would have been given to their father. Moreover, announce this to the people of Israel. If a man dies and has no sons, then give his inheritance to his daughters. And if he has no daughters, turn his inheritance over to his brothers. If he has no brothers, give his inheritance to his father's brothers. But if his father has no brothers, pass on his inheritance to the nearest relative in his clan. The Israelites must observe this as a general legal requirement, just as the Lord commanded Moses." One day the Lord said to Moses, "Climb to the top of the mountains east of the river, and look out over the land I have given the people of Israel. After you have seen it, you will die as Aaron your brother did. For you both rebelled against my instructions in the wilderness of Zin. When the people of Israel rebelled, you failed to demonstrate my holiness to them at the waters. These are the waters of Meribah at Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin." Then Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, the God of the spirits of all living things, please appoint a new leader for the community. Give them someone who will lead them into battle, so the people of the Lord will not be like sheep without a shepherd." The Lord replied, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, who has the spirit in him, and lay your hands on him. Present him to Eleazar the priest before the whole community and publicly commission him with the responsibility of leading the people. Transfer your authority to him so the whole community of Israel will obey him. When direction from the Lord is needed, Joshua will stand before Eleazar the priest, who will determine the Lord's will by means of sacred lots. This is how Joshua and the rest of the community of Israel will discover what they should do." So Moses did as the Lord commanded and presented Joshua to Eleazar the priest and the whole community. Moses laid his hands on him and commissioned him to his responsibilities just as the Lord had commanded through Moses. The Lord said to Moses, "Give these instructions to the people of Israel. The offerings you present to me by fire on the altar are my food, and they are very pleasing to me. See to it that they are brought at the appointed times and offered according to my instructions. Say to them, when you present your daily whole burnt offerings to the Lord, you must offer 2 1-year-old male lambs with no physical defects. One lamb will be sacrificed in the morning and the other in the evening. With each lamb, you must offer a grain offering of 2 quarts of choice flour mixed with 1 quart of olive oil. This is the regular burnt offering ordained at Mount Sinai, an offering made by fire, very pleasing to the Lord. Along with it, you must present the proper drink offering, consisting of 1 quart of fermented drink with each lamb, poured out in the holy place as an offering to the Lord. Offer the second lamb in the evening with the same grain offering and drink offering. It too is an offering made by fire, very pleasing to the Lord. On the Sabbath day, sacrifice 2 1-year-old male lambs with no physical defects. They must be accompanied by a grain offering of 3 quarts of choice flour mixed with olive oil and a drink offering. This is the whole burnt offering to be presented each Sabbath day, in addition to the regular daily burnt offering and its accompanying drink offering. On the first day of each month, present an extra burnt offering to the Lord of 2 young bulls, 1 ram, and 7 one-year-old male lambs, all with no physical defects. These will be accompanied by grain offerings of choice flour mixed with olive oil, 5 quarts with each bull, 3 quarts with the ram, and 2 quarts with each lamb. This burnt offering must be presented by fire, and it will be very pleasing to the Lord. You must also give a drink offering with each sacrifice, 2 quarts of wine with each bull, 2.5 pints for the ram, and 1 quart for each lamb. Present this monthly burnt offering on the first day of each month throughout the year. Also, on the first day of each month, you must offer 1 male goat for a sin offering to the Lord. This is in addition to the regular daily burnt offering and its accompanying drink offering. March 18th. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, our text today will come from the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 through 22. We'll be reading about prophecy. God's message did not come to any of the great leaders of that day. No, it came to John the Baptist, the last and the greatest of God's prophets. John's ministry was foretold by the prophet Isaiah. John was a prophet who was the subject of prophecy. We'll also read about ministry. John was privileged to prepare the nation for the Messiah and then present him to them. John preached against sin and told the people to repent. He gave specific instructions to his converts on how to put their faith into practice. He was inspecting fruit, getting to the root of sin, and warning about wrath to come. Would you accept that kind of ministry? We'll be reading about mystery. The Son of God is baptized. The Spirit lights upon him like a dove, and the Father speaks his approval from heaven. Never forget that all of the Holy Trinity is involved in your salvation. And we'll read about history. The genealogy is that of Mary, whose father was Eli. Joseph was not the biological father of Jesus, though that was what the people assumed. The genealogy of Joseph is found in Matthew chapter 1 in the New Testament. It was unusual to pay attention to the genealogy of a woman, which shows Dr. Luke's concern for neglected people. Gentile history and Jewish history are in the hands of Almighty God, fulfilling his purposes. And now let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. March 18th, the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 through 22. It was now the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, the Roman emperor. Pilate was governor over Judea. Herod Antipas was ruler over Galilee. His brother Philip was ruler over Iturea and Trachonitis. Lysanias was ruler over Abilene. Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests. At this time, a message from God came to John, son of Zechariah, who was living out in the wilderness. Then John went from place to place on both sides of the Jordan River, preaching that people should be baptized to show that they had turned from their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. Isaiah had spoken of John when he said, "He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare a pathway for the Lord's coming, make a straight road for him, fill in the valleys and level the mountains and hills, straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places.' And then all people will see the salvation sent from God." Here is a sample of John's preaching to the crowds that came for baptism. "You brood of snakes, who warned you to flee God's coming judgment? Prove by the way you live that you have really turned from your sins and turned to God. Don't just say, 'We're safe, we're the descendants of Abraham.' That proves nothing. God can change these stones here into children of Abraham. Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever your roots. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire." The crowd asked, "What should we do?" John replied, "If you have 2 coats, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry." Even corrupt tax collectors came to be baptized and asked, "Teacher, what should we do?" "Show your honesty," he replied. "Make sure you collect no more taxes than the Roman government requires you to." "What should we do?" asked some soldiers. John replied, "Don't extort money, and don't accuse people of things you know they didn't do, and be content with your pay." Everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon, and they were eager to know whether John might be the Messiah. John answered their questions by saying, "I baptize with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not even worthy to be his slave. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the grain with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, storing the grain in his barn but burning the chaff with never-ending fire." John used many such warnings as he announced the good news to the people. John also publicly criticized Herod Antipas, ruler of Galilee, for marrying Herodias, his brother's wife, and for many other wrongs he had done. So Herod put John in prison, adding this sin to his many others. One day, when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "You are my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with you." Psalm 61, verses 1 through 8. Today we're going to be reading about distance here in Psalm 61. No matter how far away you go, God hears your prayers, for his ears are open to the cries of his children. David was far from the house of God, yet the Lord heard his prayer and answered. We'll read about depth. No matter how far down you sink, God can lift you up. When life overwhelms you, take time to pray. Let God lift you up and put you on the rock that will never sink. We'll read about danger. Prayer brings you into the Holy of Holies, under the shadow of his wings, where God's glory dwells. God preserves and protects his own until that hour when he calls them to himself. And we'll be reading about delight. Do you find delight in prayer? Or is prayer only an emergency exercise to get you out of trouble? David ended the psalm with an expression of praise and an affirmation of obedience. Prayer changes things, but prayer also changes people, starting with the one who does the praying. Psalm chapter 61, verses 1 through 8. For the choir director, a psalm of David, to be accompanied by stringed instruments. O God, listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I will cry to you for help. For my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the towering rock of safety. For you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. Let me live forever in your sanctuary, safe beneath the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me an inheritance reserved for those who fear your name. Add many years to the life of the king. May his years span the generations. May he reign under God's protection forever. Appoint your unfailing love and faithfulness to watch over him. Then I will always sing praises to your name as I fulfill my vows day after day. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. Beautiful women obtain wealth, and violent men get rich. Your own soul is nourished when you are kind, but you destroy yourself when you are cruel.